Columbus, mark your calendars. Concert for a Cause, presented by the Columbus Auto Dealers, is coming to Kemba Live on Saturday, August 9th. Catch multi-platinum country star Tyler Hubbard and powerhouse trio Runaway June, live for one powerful night of music. All proceeds benefit the Butterfly Guild at Nationwide Children's Hospital, the Ryan and Christina Day Fund, and the Starhouse Foundation. Get your tickets now at cbusconcertforacause.com. One night, two incredible acts, three amazing causes. Don't miss out.
Another thing we did, and we did this on Kill Bill, for like blood explosions, and I was talking to the stunt guys, and like, oh, well, we use condoms, and we fill it up with blood, and we hold them in our hands, and we squeeze them. So I had brought a bunch of Trojan condoms, but they weren't exploding. And I'm like, what the heck? And they said, oh, no, you have to use the cheap ones. They just blow up in there when you look at them. And I'm like, well, that's
I mean, I feel that's a fun tip for people as well.
Yeah, as
like,
well.
That's something people should know.
Welcome, MythFits.
Carrie, good to see you. What's going on?
It's another episode of MythFits. I gotta say, do I look crazy today? I feel like I look like a zombie. I went to a concert last night and I was out way past midnight. I woke up today, I was like, oh.
Is somebody hungover? Does somebody need a little hair of the dog?
Nope, I wasn't drinking. I was just up very, very late. And then I was so amped up because it was really good. It was Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. That like when I came home, I couldn't calm down. And so I did something kind of silly is I'm totally obsessed with this new season of The Last of Us because,
okay,
you know, we both love zombies. And I just was
binge watching. But
wait a minute.
Can I stop you for a sec? Is that technically a zombie show or is that like a outbreak show? For the purist zombie purists, they're going to like call us out and be like, that's not a zombie movie. That's not a zombie TV show. That's an outbreak show.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like yes and no. Okay. So The Last of Us is definitely based on a fungal infection that happens that takes over, you know, the brain. But it's you get infected in the same way as a lot of zombies, like a bite infects you and you're not really alive anymore. Your body's
right.
Decaying through fungus versus decaying through like, you know, becoming undead. So I feel like there's a lot of crossover there.
No, like, I love the whole idea of, you know, like they're taking something that is occurring in nature, right? You got these fungus that are like taking over ants or taking over tarantulas and using them to like turn them into zombies to help propagate their species. But it's like, you know, a true zombie is somebody who dies completely dead and then is reanimated, right?
Okay, you're a purist.
This is like, well, it's not that I'm a purist because like 28 days later, was a outbreak movie, but I still consider it a zombie movie. So no, I'm not a purist, but I know that there are purists out there
who will
be like, that's not actually a zombie show. You got to die first and then reanimate.
Yeah, but I mean, the fungus is kind of, it's almost killing you. Because I mean, okay, so this show is based on a video game, which was inspired by I believe it's Orpheocordyceps that... When a little unsuspecting ant is running around with its colony, its little communist colony, picking up things from the forest floor, and it might get a couple spores that slowly, like, they penetrate its cuticle. And, you know, the ant keeps acting normal. The ant keeps moving along like nothing's happened until the spores start to take over its body. And then what's so crazy to me is that it makes this ant work against everything that ants do. Like ants move with the colony, but no, this ant all of a sudden is kind of, you know, almost drunk.
Thinking for himself.
And it's all of a sudden like, oh, okay, I'm feeling a little weird. I'm going to go off independently. I'm going to crawl up this stem and bite down to hold onto the stem away from my colony where then slowly the fungus, who has now just taken over its body, infects the entire ant, and a little follicle starts to grow out of its back, which, by the way, like gives me the willies so hard.
You've really looked into this.
This ant itself just starts to spew the spores back down onto the ground so that other ants can be infected, and then the whole colony can get infected. And in fact, if the colony starts to notice that you're one of them, that you're one of these fungus-filled ants, they'll pick you up and move you away. They don't want to be infected by
of
you.
Of course.
Like, nature is so incredible. It's so much weirder than any imaginative storyline you could come up with. So like all amazing science fiction, just like being inspired by something in real science makes the best stories.
Have you seen the video of the tarantula? They find like this tarantula that has been infected by this fungus. And it's like all this, you know, these spores are like growing out of this creature. So then I just did like another deep dive, and I don't know how I got onto it, but it was scabies. Are you familiar with scabies? They're microscopic little bugs, little beetles that get under your skin. And it was just like, like you were saying, there's stuff in nature that could do such horrible things to us is gnarly.
There's also, I feel like this needs to adapt into a different movie, or maybe I've seen it on Black Mirror, but there's this thing called a hairworm. Now, they need to be in water so that they can grow. Mm-hmm. But what they do is a hairworm will get inside of a cricket, and crickets naturally don't want to be in the water. So this hairworm will make the cricket, for some reason, like take over its brain and make it jump into the water after it has grown enough. So like slowly this hairworm is growing and spiraling inside of the cricket. And then it's like, nah, brah, get in the water. So the cricket gets in the water and the cricket's like, why am I in the water? And then the hairworm slowly spirals out of the anus. Completely, just like slowly. It is a gnarly video to watch. It is
I think
so
I just
crazy.
Threw up a little
so the
bit
hairworm just like slowly spirals, and it's super long, and it comes out of the anus, and you know it doesn't kill the cricket. So like the cricket can like possibly you know crawl out of the water and just be like, fine, that was a really bad day. But you know, most likely it drowns. But it's just this like this hairworm is like, nah, I got you.
So it's basically making the cricket commit suicide to jump into the water, because the cricket isn't going to survive going into the water, but that's where the worm will survive. That's crazy.
It's the mind control elements of zombieism and infection and all of this that creeps me out so hard. Do you remember on Mythbusters, you made me up as a terrifying zombie? Like you made a mold, you like fully did my makeup, and I had red contacts in, and I like became the zombie. Like I spent the whole day like annoying everybody on set, and I wore the makeup home because I'm like, no, I'm like, I went home. I wanted to show everybody, and my daughter fully cried. She fully cried. She's like, no! it was really good.
That was like a dream, because it's like I've always wanted to be a special effects makeup artist, and this was like the first time in a long time that I got to use those skills. And just to do it for Mythbusters and to do it on you, it was like a total, like, it was such a great moment. But do you remember when I made the head cast of you?
Oh, do I?
I used silicone, and it was like a, you know, safe to use on skin, but I didn't grease your eyebrows and your eyelashes enough.
Yeah.
And so when I peeled it off, all the hairs from your eyelashes and your eyebrows were still in the mold. I think there's like, I have the mold and there's still like little pieces of your eyebrow and eyelashes. So I apologize for that.
I feel like zombies was a theme on Mythbusters a lot because we are all so obsessed. So we did an entire zombie episode.
We got a lot of flack too for that, because a lot of, I mean, like the fans, the diehard fans were just like, this is fun. It's not real science. But there were like the purists who were like, the zombies aren't real. You can't. How are you going to test it? That's not real science.
I mean, maybe we were running out of myths at that point, because we always said we didn't want to do the Uggie Boogie, is what we used to call them. And, you know, zombies weren't real. But, you know, we all just really, it was really just a vehicle for us to do something that we really wanted to talk about. And there was some science we could talk about. And one was like, okay, slow moving zombies, like a bunch of them, could they catch you? Or the fun one was, could you just blend? And you got to have right. like a dream freaking moment. Do yeah. you remember when you got to go get your zombie makeup done by like a professional?
Yeah. So we were coming up with different strategies to evade a mob of zombies. And then one of them was, why don't you just dress up like a zombie, do your makeup, and then just blend in, be one of the horde. And so I got to go down to LA and went to Greg Nicotero's shop, K&B Studios, and he showed me how to do the makeup. He did the makeup on me, which was like the craziest makeup I've ever had. I mean, it looks so good.
Well, yeah, because Greg Nicotero was doing The Walking Dead. Like, The Walking Dead was huge back then.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's why we did it. We were, like, jumping on the bandwagon of Walking Dead popularity. We're like, hey, let's do a zombie episode. Yeah, great idea.
I mean, we even got Michael Rooker to come and he worked with Jamie awesome. And Adam, and we were like, what? How come we didn't get Michael Rooker?
But we got to go to dinner with him, and then he came to the wrap party. I remember we got so blitzed on margaritas. And I have like these photos of him, he's pouring like margaritas down my mouth. I'm pouring them down his mouth, like pitchers of margaritas. It was insane.
He's a trained, incredible actor yeah. and had so many great stories. But after a couple margaritas, I did challenge him to arm wrestling. I do have a picture of that as well. I think that was a wild wrap party night for us. I mean, I think that the celebrities are fun, but for you and me, like, we nerd out so hard on like the behind the scenes people.
Yeah.
And the fact totally. That you got to go meet Greg yeah, Nicotero down and get your makeup done. I have to say, I was a little bit jealous. I was pretty green. I was like, you're going to pull my eyebrows out and you get to go,
Up like a Walking Dead zombie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
No, it was so jealous.
Dream come true. Well, speaking of zombies, we have a very special guest that you are going to be very excited to talk to. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
All right, Carrie, you know, we've been talking about zombies, one of our favorite subjects. So I thought we would bring in a guest, a special guest. He's a friend of ours. He's never worked on Mythbusters, but we have worked with him on other projects. He is a makeup artist and designer. He worked on Pulp Fiction. He's worked on Kill Bill. He won an Oscar for The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. He worked on Walking Dead. He is our good friend, Howard Berger. Howard!
Oh, my God!
Hey, guys.
Oh, my God.
What's up, Howard? How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me, guys. I love him, everything. And it's so exciting to be on this. This is your podcast, your new podcast. As soon as I saw it, came up in my feed, I subscribed immediately, already wrote a review about how much I love both of you and how fantastic you guys are. And all other podcasts are just shut down. And everybody should just listen to your podcast forever.
I agree.
Is it no reason we love you?
Oh, I love you guys, man. It's been a lot of years.
So I was just thinking back of when the first time I met you. It was actually over the phone. I was going to San Francisco State Film School. But,
right.
I was going to film school because I wanted to get into effects. And so when I was home before I moved away to college, I had made a severed head of myself. And I used to go and put it in front of people's doors in the dorms, And so I would knock on their door. It would be at night and they would open, freak out, whatever. So I had met this one girl. We became really good friends. I put the head in front of her door. I knocked on the door. She opened it up and looked at it and was just like, not fazed. And I was like, you didn't even react. And she's like, this is what my brother does for a living. And I was like, who's your brother? And it was your sister, Holly.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, my brother does this for a living. And then like, I would call you every once in a while if I was working on something and I was just like all nervous on the phone. I was like, oh my God, it's Howard Berger. He's talking to me.
Yeah, no, I remember Holly telling me, my little sister Holly's like, yeah, there's a friend of mine, Tori, and he wants to do this stuff. And, you know, he thinks like I'm fazed by a severed head. But Howard, you put severed heads in my bed all the time when we were growing up. Or, you know, there'd be this, or I'd open up the refrigerator and there's a half of a body in there. So, yeah, she was desensitized early on. So,
I mean,
crazy.
When we met you, we were like, Walking Dead was really, really hot. And Tori and I were like, we want to be zombies. We want to be zombies. You're like, are you sure?
Yeah, you don't
like,
want
yes,
to be
we want to be zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we got to do a little cameo in a show that you were working.
Yeah, you talked us into getting into some makeup on Orville.
I talked you into it, Tori.
Oh, you sure did.
I twisted your arm.
You were like, oh, it's going to be so great. You guys are going to be aliens.
It's going to be great. It was fun, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So for the audience, if they, in case they don't know, Seth MacFarlane had a show that was a sort of spoof or a nod towards Star Trek called Orville, which was, you know, they had a bunch of aliens and, Howard was kind enough to let Tori and I visit set and do a full makeup job to become these red aliens that had prosthetics. Like, we looked amazing. Like, I took so many selfies that day. I even took, like, I have this weird thing I do that whenever I'm at an awards show or something super fancy, I send my girlfriend a toilet selfie. It's like, just to kind of like bring it down to earth, like a picture of me in a glamorous dress and a toilet selfie.
Yeah, I like that.
I took one in that crazy, crazy makeup.
Yeah. No, it was super fun. And that was season one. And I want to say it was like episode 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And yeah. It took place in a zoo that had tons of characters that were in cages. And you guys were, you know, basically the alien race that was the dominant alien race. So yeah, they were full, like the cowls, which are like these full head pieces, remember?
And we couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, no, they were big bulbous heads, and you had like a face piece and a chin, because they designed everything on Orville to be like three pieces. Then you were painted red and put in the costumes. And yeah, no, it was crazy. It's like nobody knew it was you guys, because I didn't tell anybody. And then, you know, at the end of the day, I revealed it and people were like losing their minds. They're like, oh my God, it's Carrie and Tori from Mythbusters. So I was like,
that was so funny. And most of them were like background extras. And so like when they would cut, we would just come over to the makeup trailer and everyone's like, why are those background characters? Yeah, they should stay out here. We're like,
him. No, they're fine. They're with me.
Howard.
And well, I remember the time where they wouldn't let you eat any craft service.
Yes.
And that always says, and I walked around, I'm like, these guys eat. I'm sorry. We're not. Oh, well, they said we're not. I said, I don't give a shit what they said. Everyone here is eating. All right. End of discussion, you know. But I was like,
that was hilarious.
You came up, you're like, I'm so hungry, but they won't let us eat. I'm like, we're going to put a stop to this right now. This is bullshit.
We're going to revolt. You
know? I remember somebody came over and they're like, telling me to take out my yellow contacts, and I'm like, I'm not wearing any contacts. I must look insane right now. I'm so tired.
When I was a kid, the gag in Dawn of the Dead, where the machete goes into the one guy, Savini puts it, he's like, you know, say goodbye, Creepo, and puts a machete in the guy's head. And I'm like, I don't know how they did that. Of course, years later, it's a machete that has a wedge and shot in reverse.
Right.
But I couldn't figure it out. I thought it was so genius. And so once I learned that and understood it, and I think that might have been from Grand Illusions, I would do that myself, because I felt like I got more results and more reaction from neighbors and other kids if it was gory or something, instead of like, Howard made a monster or painted his sister or something. So I took razor blades and I would hog out a section. I put it on my finger, you know, and then blood, and I'd run around like, oh my God. And, you know, I got reactions out of that. And I'm like, that's cool. But, you know, the whole Savini thing was really fun. I think, you know, for Walking Dead, the guys have come up with so many great things. It's hard to say. I mean, you know, I love, God, I love it all. I mean, I'm always impressed. Like, they keep reinventing the wheel on that show. And it would be easy for Greg to go, let's just use all the same stuff. We have 5 trillion zombies. But whenever we do a new season, he always wants to figure out new ways to do things and you know, how we can make it a little easier, but yet they're different, and the designs change. So, you know, but yeah, it's cool. I mean, they come up with great stuff. I mean, Greg came up with, and the mechanical guys, Caleb Schneider, came up with a great blood, like back of the head blood blowout. And it literally is like an air bellow. And the tube, there's a tube and it's filled with blood. And the actor activates and he just stomps on it and blood goes poof and shoots out. So it's all self-contained. And I'm like, that's brilliant. That works brilliant. So well. Yeah, it's so easy. And that's, as you guys know, it's the easy stuff. Like, yep. it's out
keep
of
it
the
simple.
Box. Yeah, keep it simple. It's the simple stuff. First off, I'm sorry, the word easy is incorrect. Nothing's easy. Everything's a pain in the ass and difficult. But the simplicity is where you go. You know, a thing, like, you know, working on a Kill Bill, you know, and trying to figure out a blood effect, which, you know what, I love everything that we did in Kill Bill. We did like 40 blood gags a day for like 7 months, you know, to get
God.
That, to get all that stuff. But, you know, you figure you have complicated things that don't always work as well. And then you're like, wait a minute, we're on Earth. Let's use gravity and kinetics, you know, and you figure stuff out and you're like, that works so great. Oh, my God. That was the way to go. Simplicity, simplicity. That's the best way.
Didn't they have to like make it black and white so that it would pass
the
radar?
Yes and no. I mean, because we talked about it on set and Quentin's like, you know, what color blood should the black and white blood be? And I'm like, well, we'll just make it super dark and that'll work. But, you know, there is a Japanese version of Kill Bill that's not in black and white, that has no black and white sequences, you know, that's I've seen and it's super cool.
Wow.
It's so many blood gags. And again, talking about simplicity, we used, and I still use them today, fire extinguishers. So I take fire extinguishers, you know, probably I put like maybe 2 gallons of blood, watered down blood in there, charge it to like 150 PSI, sometimes 200, and just hook it up. And man, oh man. So the first time I was testing stuff on Kill Bill, I just had 1 extinguisher per gag and the blood was good. And I was like, it's gotta be bigger. It's gotta be bigger. And then I would use 2 fire extinguishers. So there's 4 gallons of blood, 150, you know, PSI. And I mean, I could shoot that shit 30 feet. You know, and how I knew it worked is Quentin would sit. I'd hear Quentin laughing and laughing because he'd always stand behind the monitor, or not the monitor.
Awesome.
He'd stand behind the camera because we didn't have monitors, which was great. He would stand and watch live, and you know, if I heard him laughing, I knew you did your job.
Right.
Absolutely, I knew I did my job very, very well.
I love the fire extinguisher idea. Now, if say someone like me wanted to just get ready for Halloween mm-hmm. or just, you know, a Tuesday, what are some fun sort of DIY gags that you could recommend to me? Like, how do I make myself look like a zombie with like household items, or like how could I have a dramatic blood squirt coming out of my
sure.
head?
Well, I mean, if you were like, well, let's see. So for a zombie, I mean, same thing I used to do when I was a kid. So I would take like tissue paper, you know, like toilet paper and pull it apart. So it was 1 ply, and you can get Duo, which is eyelash adhesive. And
oh,
that works really well. Yeah. And you can stipple it on your face. And then you kind of do like, it's almost like paper macheing. And you lay the tissue paper on and then you stipple the Duo over that, you know, and then dry it. And you'll get like crinkly, weird, you know, leathery skin. And you can paint it up with makeup or whatever. You know, for blood, we make our own blood at K&B. It's Caro Sera base with food coloring and preservatives. But, you know, you can, you have to be careful when you're making blood, because sometimes if you use the liquid food coloring, that stains. So, but
yeah.
a good trick to keep from staining is you take a little clear dish soap, and it might taste kind of crappy, but you put it in there and mix it up. So not that it's frothy, but the dish soap works as a kind of like a de-stain, and it works really, really well.
But I remember going into your shop though and looking at the shelves. You have like a library
yeah.
of blood. Like different colors.
There's tons of blood. Yeah, we have like low light blood. We have Tarantino blood. We have vampire blood, zombie blood, dark light. So, and also if you do use a blood that stains, what gets everything out is shaving cream. That's a trick. Yeah.
Good to know.
If shaving cream will get rid of any stain. And I don't know why. There's just something in shaving cream. But like when we do blood effects, we always have a can of Barbasol and spray it on and da-da-da. Wash your hands and your hands are as clean as the, you know, before you even did the gag.
Wow.
So that's a really good thing. And then like regarding a blood spurt, I mean, you really want to do something that projects the blood, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, even if you don't have like, we use syringes and fire extinguishers, but you can even use like a turkey baster, you know, and fill that turkey baster up and then 1, 2, 3, hit it. Blood's going to spray everywhere. It's great. You know, another thing we did, and we did this on Kill Bill for like blood explosions, because Quentin didn't want to use squibs. And again, he's like, listen, you got to think outside the box. And I was talking to the Chinese stunt guys. They're like, oh, well, we use condoms and we fill it up with blood and we hold them in our hands and we squeeze them on the take and blood sprays out. And I was like, wow, really? So I had brought a bunch of Trojan condoms, only for makeup effects, by the way.
Right.
No, it's true.
You weren't using them.
But they weren't exploding. And I'm like, what the heck? And they said, oh, no, you have to use the cheap Chinese ones. They just blow up in there when you look at them. And I'm like, well, that's,
I mean, I feel that's a fun tip for people as well. That's something
don't use Chinese condoms, or you might get a surprise.
I think that's why there's a billion people there. So, what we would do is we'd take a big bucket of water and we'd take the condoms we got in China, fill them up with blood, tie them off. They look like sausages, and you put them into the bucket of water. That way they don't stick. Because if they stick and you pull them out, they're going to explode. And we would hand them out and we'd fire them off. And it was like these great blood sprays. So a lot of the blood sprays during the big action scenes in Kill Bill, they're the stunt guys holding like these sausage-sized blood condoms.
Oh, my God.
Pop, 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 pop. And that were great. And Quentin was so excited. He's like, see, you thought outside the box. We don't have to use squibs.
That is
visual
genius.
Yeah, it was so great. But you got to keep them in a bucket of water so that they don't, you know, touch each other and get stuck. So,
I need to get some Chinese condoms.
I know.
Crazy. Oh my God. I'm going to watch that movie so differently from now. I'm going to look for all this.
Dead. It's like those tracking shots where Uma's walking through and just slicing and blood. You see blood throwing everywhere. That's all Chinese condoms being exploded in stunt guys' hands, you know?
Exploding Chinese condoms.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was a great trick. Those guys were like totally let us in on something. I was like, wow, what a brilliant idea.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, as a kid, I used to use like frosting. You know, different color frostings, you know, you buy at the store, like the red looks kind of cool. We actually used some of it on Kill Bill on Uma Thurman. I remember, you know, there was just like an interesting red and I was like, well, let's put it on Uma, and like did it like around her mouth. So it still tasted nice, you know, and it worked out well. It didn't stain or anything like that. So you can find little things around the house and at grocery stores. Because before this, what I do, makeup effects, before it was so popular, we had to find other things that were for other reasons and adapt them to use them for what we use. You know, nowadays there's stores and you can buy all this stuff anywhere. But prior to that, we were just figuring it out, you know, like you can go to a dental place and get this stuff called alginate that they cast people's teeth with. And if you can cast their teeth, you could probably cast their heads with the stuff. That's how things evolved, you know, and now there's specialty stores and specialty products.
Now there's specialty schools to learn how all this stuff.
Yeah, and schools. So it's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I remember going to the there was a morgue near my house and I would go and get the mortician's wax. And they were like, what do you want this for? And I was like, I'm making scars. I need to buy. I can't find it anywhere. And so
absolutely.
They sold
me mortician's wax works really well. As long as you weren't like in the morgue scraping it off of people's dead faces and like this, they're not going to, what are they going to use it for?
Yeah. So, they're not going to need this where they're going.
Right. Howard, you are clearly an expert that's been thinking about zombies and the undead for a long time. I have a couple questions for you.
Sure.
One, are you more scared of one of the parasite infections like the fungi in The Last of Us or a death infection, which is more like dead alive people? If you had to choose one of those zombies, which one would you fear the most?
Wow. Well, they're both horrible. I would probably fear... Wow, I don't know. That's a good one. I probably did more of the dead alive zombies. I don't know.
The undead.
The undead. Yeah.
Traditional.
I think
okay,
so.
Okay, that shows what kind of guy you are. Okay, so it's a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
You get to choose one weapon that's your weapon. What do you choose?
Oh, that's a good one, too. I would say, well, let's see. I mean, because you could say a chainsaw, but then eventually it's going to run out of gas, you know? I know what? I would just get a really big, badass machete. I really would. And start
machete.
Lobbing.
Machete.
Yeah, lobbing
answer.
Heads off. Yeah. I mean, the machete's always going to be your friend, you know? And it's easy. You just, you know, you don't have to get that close. If it's a nice, big, long blade, you just whoosh, slice off, you know, because you got to think about, you know, what you could run out of. You'll run out of bullets with a gun, you know, you're going to run out of gas with a chainsaw.
Oh, real quick. You remember when I came to your shop and you did a head cast because we were doing something, you made me an evil ash.
Right.
I still have the head cast.
Oh, look at there.
Tori, wow, that's someday cool. When you get plastic surgery, you can use your true. Old head casting
that's
as
right.
a reference.
You're like, make me look like this again.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Make me look young again, Howard.
That's awesome. Oh, you look young. What are you talking about?
All right. So if you're listening right now and you're a big fan of zombie movies, Howard clearly follows us. So throw some questions up in the chat. Tag Howard and go check out MythFits on Instagram and all the places that we are. I just look at Instagram the most. Ask your questions, tag Howard, and that way we can keep this conversation going.
Yeah,
and you guys
absolutely.
Can actually be included.
Yeah, I'll answer. Tag me. It's hoops511. And yes, I'm an Instagram guy. So yeah, and I'll answer any of your questions. So please.
Dude, Howard, thank you so much for coming on. It's so good to see you. I miss you. We need to hang out again soon because it's been way too long.
I agree.
Such a treat.
Let's figure it out. You guys, we have to find a time. So we'll find a time to see each other. I'll see you guys soon. All right.
All right,
oh
man.
My God,
thank
you so much. Tori, I have to thank you. You brought on Howard and you know, I knew we were going to have guests on the show, but like that is somebody who I just adore. He is the coolest.
Yeah, he really is. And it's like, it's been forever. I haven't seen him in so long. And just the fact that, I don't know, he's such a humble and like easygoing guy, yet he has this like he's a legend when it comes to the industry, and he's just like totally chill guy.
And I've got a whole bunch of tricks now that I'm going to use for Halloween when I'm going to do my makeup because he's got some really great do-it-yourself zombie ideas that I think are really fun.
You're going to go out and order that case of Chinese condoms.
Okay, so, you know, usually we've decided that this part of the show, we are going to answer fan questions, and it's kind of
funny.
Yeah,
so it's really important. Like, we, like Mythbusters, we would always go to the chat boards and check, you know, for suggestions on myths, and we would respond to our fans. And so this is an opportunity for that same interaction where you can send in a question, we'll read it and answer it.
Our island of MythFit.
Yeah.
MythFit toys. Yeah, I love reading all of the questions that our audience has. And there was one I was scrolling through that is actually pretty appropriate here. So, you know, like I said, whenever I'm interviewing people and my icebreakers seem to always tend to be like zombie questions. And I have like my zombie quiz that I give people so that they start getting comfortable. So Jonathan wants to know, it's the zombie apocalypse. Which Mythbuster would you want on your team? So, like, which Mythbuster would you choose, Tori, if the zombie
this
apocalypse
is tough
happens?
Because this is tough because you're here. I'm going to have to answer you.
I mean, you don't because we all know that the answer is going to be
Jamie.
Yes.
Yes. He is a robot. He is a zombie killing machine. He would be the one I would want. He has no emotion and he would figure out whatever he had to kill the maximum amount of zombies.
I think he's just the most incredible inventor using the things that are around him. And like I've talked to him about this before because he's just like, oh, easy. I would make a death truck. That would just have a shovel at the front that you could just run through all of the zombies. And I'm sure he's already outfitted it in a way that it's like solar and regenerative and like he has weapons all around the sides. I mean, I think that Jamie would be the person. I'm heading straight to M5 the second the zombie apocalypse happens. I mean, I do have a zombie kit, like, you know, because, you know, you have your earthquake kit, your emergency kit. But if you add a couple machetes, it becomes a zombie apocalypse kit.
Yes, that's true. I don't know if I would go to M5. I think my first choice would be Home Depot. Because if you think about it, it doesn't have any windows. They all have like roll-up doors that you could close up. And then you have like all the tools that you would need to take on a horde. I think that's where I would run to first.
True. But if you think about it, Home Depot would also be full of people to get infected because like it's filled with a bunch of people. And Jamie's shop not only has all the tools, but there's like stockpiles of things like black powder there. So like instantaneous, we've got explosives.
All right. So you're going to M5. I'm going to Home Depot. But you know what I would do is I would find a Home Depot that was close to a Costco, and then I would build a bridge at Home Depot long enough that it would reach Costco so that I could climb across that bridge and get food and then come back to Home Depot.
Well, damn, Tori, maybe you're on my team. Seriously, I like your thought process here. So MythFits has a lot of fun things to talk about. So come back next time, and I promise we're not just going to talk about zombies. Like, subscribe. Leave us a review.
A good one.
Yes, definitely leave us a good review. We want to keep doing this. This is really fun.
We'll be back next week with a completely different topic, so don't miss it.
MythFits out.
Pioneer.